What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody, man? It's your host, Maul. You know, I go by Bruising Boxing under the Ringside Rave umbrella. Man, I just want to introduce my partner's News and Smoke, and we want to welcome y'all to the 7th episode of the Fade Hour. Right now, I'm drinking a milk stout from my people, Reeve Brewing. A Coffee and Contemplation is the name, and yeah, I'm ready. So let me go ahead and kick it to News, and then Smoke going to introduce themselves, and we're going to get into this Devin Haney stuff. We also going to get into the WBSS final between George Groves and Callum Smith. That's going to be coming our way this Friday.
What up, y'all? This your boy News, representing that Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is for me, man.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke, Free Smoke Boxing, by the way, a Ringside Rave. I got that Blue Dream and Golden Go with me. Let's do it.
You know what? I always forget to say. I'm going to start adding that to my little tag. So let me start over. I said, the Supreme OG is on deck by my side. Scottie Pippen. Basically, it's a sidekick. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah.
Got you, man. Yeah, let's get right to it, man. We got our prospect, man, an up-and-coming prospect, going to be a future world champion that we all agree that that's going to happen. Yep. This Friday night, Devin Haney is going to get in the ring with Juan Carlos Burgos on Showtime, Next Generation, man. And News, I know that you've been definitely keeping tabs on this young man, kind of been following his up-and-coming, man. Just give us, your opinion on him. How you think this fight gonna go, and just any other general thoughts when it comes to Devin Haney?
Oh man, basically, Devin Haney is, I don't know, man. Devin Haney, talking too fast, like I said, excuse me, that's the Supreme OG. Devin Haney is a great prospect. Like, I don't really use the words great with fighters, especially when they're young prospects, because their people always come back. Oh, but you said he was this, you said it was that. But I don't see how you can look at Devin Haney and see anything else. But at this time of his career, look at him as a great prospect. Like, to do, I don't see what he really can't do. Of course, he has flaws, but also at the same time, he's young. He doesn't even have the Olympic pedigree. You know why? Because Devin Haney is a professional, younger, and went right into the game and learned on the job. He's main eventing his own card this weekend, going up against Juan Carlos Burgos, however you say his last name. No disrespect, but it won't be no name reason to say his last name after Friday, because Devin Haney is going to put that work in. And another impressive performance from him. And like I said, I mean, this is the sky's the limit with this kid. I always say, if you don't watch boxing that much, you need to follow the young prospects who are going to be the future of the sport. Devin Haney is a name that you need to follow. You need to tune in. This Friday, everybody should be tuning into this, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Showbox series, or even if you're not, Showbox Next Generation, I think is the tag that they have for it. They usually have Nah Hood on there with who is it? Rafael Marquez or something like that. The dude that used to box. Right. Hardcore boxer. But basically, it showcases young talent. And Devin Haney's been on there, I don't know, for the past 2 years, give or take. Mm-hmm. But he's like 21 right now.
He's 19.
Younger. See, 19. That's the thing. Like, I said like 2 years ago, like, am I throwing that out? Is it wrong? Like, nah, dude was fighting on it when he was 17. But last time out, he basically blanked Mason Menard. I'm pretty sure that's the cat he fought. It really depends on, you know, if you toss a sympathy round the other guy's way or not. But the dude is very, you see a lot of high level skills in him when he's in the ring. So I hope that they're all on display against Juan, I fought Mikey Garcia, Carlos Burgos, who is just for a little rundown, this will be his fourth time in the ring since he fought Mikey, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. But the impressive thing about, one of the impressive things about Devin Haney is you said he was fighting on his own card. And exactly. You meant that literally.
Yes. Right. Because that was something I was just about to ask News, man. You know, I was going to ask you, man, because you did share that with us before the cast that, you know, he does have Devin Haney Promotions. And I do think that's impressive for a 19-year-old, man. 19, man. I know we got a lot of boxers that's now doing the whole, you know, starting their own promotion thing, which is good because that means, you know, they're taking their career in their hands now. And also trying to put other people on as well, man. So I just think that's impressive, man. You got any thoughts you want to share in regards to that?
Yeah. Shit, that's amazing. I mean, everybody in the game should be clapping for him because his promotional company is not just a name. You know what I mean? It's not like Devin Haney Promotions, and but it really don't matter. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's really top rank. It's just Devin Haney. You know what I mean? Like how Manny MP Promotions was, or right. Kodo Promotions. Like, we really never seen Kodo. You know what I mean? Like, Kodo was going through company to company. Devin Haney really ain't working with nobody. Like, who is he right. backed by? Who's his major promoter that's backing him or promoting his fight?
Like, right. It's not throwing him a bone type of things, you right. know?
Like, this right. kid doing this straight off the muscle. So I gotta respect that. You know what I mean? Because at the same time, like, Ringside Ray, for example, Free Smoke Boxing, Bruising Boxing, Ringside Ray, we trying to bring, you know what I mean? We trying to build our brand. Devin Haney is trying to build his brand. And he's doing it at 19, and he's doing it in the public eye. And he's doing it with the pressure of this boy better perform, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, Devin Haney always has that next Mayweather tag attached to his name. But the thing is, the kid works so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, if you check his page, you know he's a fighter. He talks his trash. He talks this and that. You check that boy page, you see a flashy picture in between sparring videos, him working. That's all you see. So it's like, how else can you say anything derogatory or see anything wrong with what he's doing? And he's doing it at only 19. He's not even right. in physical prime or mental prime yet. Mental he's prime. Just doing it.
Because, you know, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, things about his age and how you always see him grinding, because I wanted to ask you, you know, a few questions in YouTube, Smoke, just direct at YouTube. Like, because we always hear when you know, when it comes to how he's doing in sparring, we always hearing great things about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mayweather has had nothing but great things to say about him. And also, when it comes, you always mention him up and coming, because, you know, when you think of Haney, we think of Shakur Stevenson. So it's kind of like, you know, we're going to get there. So we might as well just go ahead and go there, because they're going to be linked until they fight. So what do you think that, well, just tell us what, you know, the few fights that you have seen him.
Not even comparable to me.
Go ahead.
Not even comparable to me, except that they're both young African-Americans mm-hmm. and they box.
I'm not even going to compare them off the fact that, of course, both of them are at this time in different weight classes. Even though right. it's only 126, 135, that's not too much of a difference. But the reason I'm not going to compare them is because both of them are blue chip prospects to me.
Right.
So I don't want to, you know what I mean? And when they're not in the same weight class and they can't fight, so I don't want to compare what Shakur Stevenson does, especially when it's Devin Haney turn. You know, Shakur Stevenson gets up, he is with Top Rank, so he gets a little lot more promo out there than what Devin Haney has open to him. So mm-hmm. I don't really want to compare him or even talk about Shakur Stevenson, who's a beast. Shakur Stevenson is definitely a beast. I guess I'm gonna say this real quick, and then we gotta hop back on Haney. I remember going to Florida my birthday, in December when I went to see the Buccaneers game. I remember down there, the main thing I wanted to do when I got there was watch Shakur Stevenson's fight. He fought that weekend when I went down there when the Buccaneers fought the Lions. I remember watching that in the hotel room. Had the Ciroc, of course, had the flowers, you know, and mm-hmm. Kia put on the show as usual. But Devin Haney, that's just a, I don't know, man. It's just,
I was going to ask you what you like about him as a prospect that you've seen so far in his fights that you think, you know, what you just touch on his skill set.
The best thing I like about Devin Haney is the fact that he's always working. Mm-hmm. And he's always trying to get better. And mm-hmm. not only do he talk this, like, I like the fighters that could talk, and they, like, in the ring, you see him showing out, he's showing off, he's showing. I like personality, of course. I like the swag. I like fighters. That's all that. I like the flash. I love that. But also at the same time, when the lights is off, you got to put in that work. So when the mm-hmm. lights is on, it's easy for you. And for him, the fights are easy for him because he's working so hard when the lights is off. That's what I like the most about him. I like his work ethic and the age. It's like each fight, he's working like he's 24 on the verge of a championship, a title fight. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. in reality, he's only 19 and he's still building his name, which is makes us like, damn, if he's working like this now, then what's he gonna work like when he's 25, 26,
right,
champion, and he got to fight a number of top. He's not even fighting the top opponents, and he's working like he's fighting somebody hard. Then you know what I mean, like the tough opponents. Wait, what happens when Devin Haney gets better?
I think.
What you think about that, man?
I think that that him being paired with Floyd Sr. for however long they're doing that, if they're still doing that, which I'm pretty sure they are. Was a great thing because, like News said, he's got the work ethic that a lot of these young cats don't have, which is super mm-hmm. unfortunate. You see cats, you know, go months at a time without fighting and so on and so forth. But skill set, the things that really stand out, which are different from, you know, your typical prospect where you say, oh, you know, he's got a nice jab or a nice left hook or he's got power or whatever, is really like a ring generalship
mm-hmm.
and IQ. So like things that you can't necessarily, like you can't teach and it's hard to describe, but ring generalship, like controlling a fight, is we've seen in the past month. With the exception of the Anthony Joshua fight, Danny Garcia, Sean Porter, mm-hmm. Triple G, Canelo, whoever was in control of that fight, whoever dictated the pace in that fight ended up winning those fights. And those are small things that when you see them in a young fighter, you have to be impressed by that because it's not something that you can just... that everyone has. It's a really nice and tangible, and I think that Devin Haney has that, as well as he does have a very nice jab, and he's got the sharp punches.
Man, he could. I just like the fact that he pretty much can do everything. Like you said, sharp punches or accurate punches, yeah. Power punches. He has speed. You know what I mean? He has the intelligence. He could fight going forward or backward. He has defense. He could fight, you know what I mean? He could fight if you're trying to put pressure on him. I mean, like as far as what we've seen against the opponents he's fought, and again, of course, that's the caliber of opponent, but with Mason Menard and then Juan Carlos Burgos, even though he hasn't really had the huge name, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I said, he fought Mikey Garcia. He's fought fighters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's fought top fighters. So this is an opportunity, at least for Devin Haney, to show this is another step up opponent for him. Like he's not fighting a scrub. He's fighting a guy who fought to a draw with Roman Martinez.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he lost, and it was a split decision draw. He could have won the belt. He's fighting a guy who could be a champion right now.
A champion, right? Right.
You know what I mean? This guy fought for the belt three times. So it's going to be a good fight, a good opponent for Devin Haney to show that it's another step up fight for him. And it's just, like I said, exciting to see him fighting these fighters. I don't see anything he can't do. That's more the thing to me. As of right now, I don't see really anything that he can't really do in the ring. So that's why I have him as a blue chip prospect. If we were doing it as in football rankings, Devin Haney's a 5-star recruit.
I just, bro, you get out of my head. I'm about to say he's a 5. Yeah, you know, in baseball they call him 5-2 right. Prospect too. Right.
That's what he is. As a matter of fact, we got to start. That's what we're gonna start doing. We're gonna make it easy. I mean, I know we got a lot of UK fans, mm-hmm. but I mean, even in basketball, it's the same. 5-star recruits. So Devin Haney would definitely be a blue chip 5-star recruit, you know, going to Florida State.
I see you slid that in. But you know, I was gonna add both of y'all dropped the tidbit, you know, before the cast, but how do y'all think the addition of, you know, Hall of Fame referee Jor Cortez is gonna help him? You know what I'm saying? He's been added to the team as a consultant.
Right.
We know how consultants are. You know, he's gonna be able to give him valuable information and you know, help him with guidance and preparation and things like that as far as what to look for in the ring. That's how I see it going. But how do you guys see it, and how you think that addition will help him propel him going forward in his career?
So I'll take this one first. So there are things that you can gain by having 7 different coaches in your camp, right? And you might not call him coach. You might call him like your public relations guy or your marketing person or whatever. But they're all your coach in one way, shape, form, or fashion. As long as they all coexist together, and Devin Haney has a strong team around him to begin with. So just to add someone else who has, you know, 20 to 30 years of boxing experience in one way or another.
High level too.
Extreme.
Yeah. You know, like, how could that ever be a bad thing? And really, you heard that Joe Cortez would sometimes be called a Mayweather referee, maybe back in the day. Kenny Bayless popped up. But seriously, that's like getting another, it's like getting another Mayweather cat in your camp, because he was a Mayweather, right? I mean, if we're just going to be the buck for a while. So, you know, more experience, more guidance from someone who knows what they're talking about. I mean, how could that be a bad thing?
It can't be. Joe Cortez, he has over, I think it's like 20, 30, and it's crazy because 20, 30 is a lot of damn years.
Mm-hmm. Right?
His experience. But the crazy thing about it is that he actually has over 50. He has over 50 years. And Joe Cortez has been around forever. Had over 170, refed over 170 fights, world championship fights.
Not all even the same fights.
Over 170 championship fights. So he knows what a champion looks like. Not only that, the guy used to box. I found that out the other day, and I'm like, what? Joe Cortez has hands?
Yeah. run up on Joe if you want to.
Joe Cortez got hands? And Devin Haney is adding that wealth of, you know what I mean, experience to his squad. To Devin Haney Promotions. And again, that's just another step, and again, another reason why I say, like, it's hard not for me to like the kid, because he's doing everything right. It would be different if he was out partying. I mean they tried to make a big thing about his personal life and what he's doing there, but as a boxer, like, this, we haven't seen anything like
care of business.
You know what
he's
I mean, like,
care of business.
He's handling his business in and outside of the ring. Like, I don't see anything. What's there to dislike about the kid? That's what I'm waiting for. We're part of the media now, and this part of the media is about giving the fighters their fair chance. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what's there not to like about Devin Haney, because that's what's going to come, because that's what they do to them type of fighters, because, you know what I mean? Like, they try to find something. There's nothing to dislike about Devin Haney.
Man.
Kid got skills on skills on skills. You know what I mean? Got
right.
Talent for days.
Like you said, man.
I cannot wait.
And like you said, that work ethic, man. Like, you can't coach that. You can't teach that, man. You either got it or you don't, man. And for every time you check his page, homeboy is working. And like I said, to do that at 19 and to be affiliated with the Mayweathers and also adding Joe Cortez to his team. Oh, he's building that foundation the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way you build it, man. You get close to people who've been in the game, experienced, successful, and you just leech off them, man. And you listen, you learn. You know what I'm saying? He's shown that he's learned, because he, like you said, he's improved every single fight, man. And he's being pushed the right way. You know what I'm saying? He's not being rushed. but he's not being baby, you know what I'm saying? And exactly. he's being pushed the way that we wish more fighters would be pushed, not rushed, but not spoon fed, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we do, when we talk about him, we got to remember that he's fucking 19, you know what right. I'm saying?
Exactly. That's crazy.
Some of the best young prospects in boxing now are what, 24, 25 ish, whatever, 20, you know what I'm saying? At the most. Cat still can't even buy his own drink. He won't be able to buy his own drink in 2020. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, think about that shit, man.
So, just two more cents on that. I remember the Juan Carlos Burgos, Mikey Garcia fight because, of course, I do. And
shocking.
Juan Carlos Burgos did not want to engage with Mikey Garcia, even though he was taller.
Not many do want to get you with the boy.
Yeah, no, so I think that Devin Haney wants to show out. I think he probably wants to get him out of there. He's gonna have a tough time doing that if that's his goal, because this dude, he fights a spoilerish type. I mean, if he still fights the same way 4 years later.
Gotcha, man. And News, you got any final thoughts too before jump into the WBSS final?
Yeah, I think that he is gonna try to stop Juan Carlos Burgos a little faster than Mikey Garcia did. I definitely think, because Mikey Garcia didn't stop him at all.
No, he didn't.
Mm-hmm. 12. And as a matter of fact, he's never been stopped. So I think that he's going to try to have it's hard to have a more impressive performance than Mikey Garcia. So the only way you're going to be able to do that is just by getting him up out of there. And if he can go ahead and get him up out of there, because I mean,
he should be able to.
So, I mean, he's fought twice. It's not like he's rushed, you know, he fought two times in 2017. He hasn't fought in 2018 yet. But at the end of the day, he's fighting a 19-year-old.
That's true.
He's fighting a 19-year-old. I mean, at the same time, so I'm not going to hold anything against Devin Haney, because Haney is still a step up for Haney, regardless if you know what I mean? So it's not like, hey, he's fighting a 19-year-old who's just getting his bearings up under him. I can't wait to see this fight on Friday. Everybody need to tune in for it, because it's going to be definitely live.
That's on Showtime
Extreme,
yeah. Or normal Showtime.
No, Showtime, regular Showtime.
That's what's up.
Right, definitely, man. And yes, definitely. Before we transition to talking about the WBSS final, man, Smoke, where can the people find you? And then News as well, man. Where can the people find you, man?
I mean, shit. Of course, always first go to Ringside Radio on Twitter and Instagram. But me personally, you can find me at Three Smoke Boxing. That's for Twitter and IG. YouTube coming soon. And yeah, y'all can find me on the podcast whenever, all the fucking time.
Definitely. News, we do one. When should we expect? I'm not News, but Smoke. When should we expect a little Free Smoke Boxing?
Y'all should expect to hear the first through third episodes of Smoke Sessions. Mine and Will joint in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Gotcha. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, man. For me, as far as me, man, y'all can find me. Y'all know Ringside Rave, Twitter, Instagram. Podomatic, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, soon to come. As far as News, myself, y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RSR_NEWZZ. You know what I mean? Message your boy. But at the end of the day, we just happy y'all tuned in, man. That's all
definitely.
I can say. So,
yeah, y'all keep going.
What's up, followers?
Definitely, man. Y'all who listen to us, who follow us, man, definitely just give us some feedback, man, because we're trying to bring y'all the best boxing and, you know, info, conversation, talk, whatever, man, whether it's positive feedback, constructive criticism. We just need to hear from y'all so we can continue to build and grow, man, because like I said, we coming, you know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing.
Right, tell me what tell me what tell me what beverages you like to have on the show. I'm gonna start taking requests. As a matter of fact, tell me what flowers you want me to take. I'm gonna try to go get it. Tell me what beverage you want. Drop it in the comments. I'm gonna try to make sure I do a show with it.
We can't always have Henny Pat though, because the people will always want to have Henny Pat.
Henny Pat.
And Henny Pat is not always available.
Definitely, man. Yeah, shout out to Pat, man. He wasn't able to join us tonight. Same thing with my man P. Exactly. My man P at Boxing Bodega. My man Rez out there in Hungary, man. You know what I'm saying? What we call him again?
It's Hungary.
Hungary. Yeah.
You just call it Hungary.
I don't know what it's called. All I know is
Hungary, but he's hungry. He's not Hungarian, but he just, I don't know.
He is Hungarian, but the country's name is Hungary.
Hungary, right.
Yeah.
I've been drinking, man. This shit kind of creeping up, man.
This shit's close.
But yeah, man, this your man, you know, this Mall Baker 86, that's how you can follow me on my personal, you know, Twitter and Instagram. You know, as far as the boxing, the business thing, my Twitter is Boxing Brews. You know, my Instagram is Boxing_and_Brews. No, Brews. I don't know. Shit, you follow me. Fuck it up, man.
Yo, if y'all can find us, you'll be able to find
them. Right. You find one, you'll find the other one, Dan. Right. That's all I got to say.
Right. Can't find me, just look up under the comments. Or something, one way or the other.
You're gonna find me randomly shouting out Charles Martin somewhere, goddamn it.
Charlie Mack.
Exactly, man. But yeah, man, going to our second topic. All I gotta say is finally, George Groves is gonna be back in the ring, man. And he's gonna be going up against Callum Smith in the WBSS final of the 168 division. For a while, we was looking at maybe a replacement, but luckily, thankfully, they're going to be able to get it going and close the book on the series or season one of the WBSS, man. Yeah, I'm gonna throw it to you, Smoke, man. Give us your thoughts on the fight. If you have that much, you know, intel on Callum Smith, let us know how let us know how you think this fight will play out.
So I think George Groves is going to win because I think he's the best dude out of that crop. I thought it was bullshit how they were going to replace Callum Smith replace George Groves with Eubank Jr., even though Eubank Jr. literally got gunned up and clapped quick by George Groves. He got buck 50 and, to be honest with you, I don't know much about Callum Smith, but I don't think he's any better than George Groves, and George Groves ain't that special, but I think the fight could be made. I think they could run it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tune in. And you said it's on Friday?
Yeah, I believe it's on Friday. Because when I checked, I think I saw it's actually going to be on Friday.
Is it on DAZN?
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's actually on Friday.
It's on Friday. But yeah, I think George Groves is probably going to cut him and maybe TKO him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet that, though.
Nah. Definitely. Me neither. Yeah, it's on Friday. I'm checking. I'm taking a look at it right now. It is scheduled for Friday.
And all I know is... As far as the fight, like, I got George Groves winning, man. George Groves' resume is much better than, of course, Callum Smith's.
Definitely.
Groves has been in with pretty much, as far as your English, like I said, English fighters. That's the Supreme OG kicking in. I'm trying to find the words now. So... With George Groves, you know what I mean? He's fought Frotch, you know what I mean?
Ubank, twice. Ubank,
you know what I mean? He's fought
Miguel.
Badu Jack, you know what I mean? He's fought DeGale, like you said.
Yep.
So it's like,
mm-hmm.
he's
Martin Murray.
Martin Murray. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah. He fought all that dude.
Right. It's like, so it's almost like Glenn Johnson.
Yeah, Glenn Johnson.
What up, bro, dog?
You know what I mean?
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. So George Groves is really has a nice resume. Like, he's seen pretty much everything, and he's 30. But what worries me with him is that he did suffer that injury. You know what I mean? He did happen to. He still won that fight, but he's coming back off an injury.
That shoulder, yeah.
To fight Callum Smith and this is his first fight since then. So that might give him some pause. And Callum Smith is what, like 6'2", 6'3"? He's like really tall. Like, I was looking at some clips of him before the show, and he's like huge.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 24-0.
So yeah, dude is huge. So with that size and with George Groves coming back off an injury, it's going to be interesting. But I'm not betting against George Groves, man. Like, at the end of the day, he's taking the W, in my opinion. He's taking the Ali trophy home.
Definitely. And do y'all think he going to mix it up with the other 168s?
I think he would.
And yeah, I think, you're right. His resume is showing that he will.
Yeah, I think he will. And I also think that if they want to get paid, they might have to go over there. Because who else? I mean, like David Benavidez. You know what I mean? You're going to have to go over there to get that bag. Because you're not going to, George Groves coming over here to fight you in the United States is not really going to give you the bag you're looking for. Go over there.
He wouldn't do it.
But think about it, though. If George Groves gets this win, whoever gets this W, now, okay, so we've seen how it happened for Usyk with the cruiser. You know what I mean? George Groves is about to get that Ali trophy rub next.
Yeah.
Does that make George Groves an A-side?
So
a star, a where you got to come fight him over there.
You would,
yeah. So here's the thing: is the way that they love boxing over there, and over there means the United Kingdom, I think, or Europe. Or Europe's a pretty blanket statement, so we'll go with that. George Groves was half the reason that 60,000 people came to see him versus, you know, Carl Kobra Frack. I mean, maybe he only brought 20,000 of those people, but George Groves could fight fucking me and News in a tag team match tomorrow and sell 25,000 seats.
Yep.
And he'd probably toss us 100,000 pounds, like, just because. I mean, there's no way that he would come to the United States to fight David Benavidez.
Right.
You'd have to throw $10 million at him.
I got a question for you too, man. Okay. George Groves at 168 and he fights Friday, but don't forget there's another 168 who fights Friday too, man. Jose Ugarteguiz, man. He fights Friday too. Yeah, he fights Friday too, man. Ezekiel Moderna. I don't know who that is. Never knowing him, probably won't know him after Friday either, but
how would y'all
Groves, Lil Uzi?
I think that would be nice. I mean, Uzi likes to bring in the drama.
I have to see how George Groves looks
In his return fight.
I'm gonna see how he looks first. I mean, if he's everything, it's fine. I love to see that fight because George Groves is fighting to the end. That's an underrated thing about these UK fighters that I do have to put some respect on. Originally, again, we were on the day back in the day fighters where what we were told over in the United States by England fighters. You know what I mean?
Don't do it, News. You still in my next question. Go ahead. You gonna go ahead. I'm asking though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just go ahead. Well, go ahead. You can ask the question if it ain't, I'm gonna come back to it.
I was talking with my sister yesterday, and we was talking about how back in the days, you was even mentioning, you really don't look at UK fighters in the great light unless they come over to the US and fight. You kind of still feel that way with, you know, nowadays we got so many promotions, so many streaming sites, so many X, Y, and Z for exposure for boxers. Do you still feel that you not say you don't respect the fighter, but you can't stamp them unless they come over to the U.S. and solidify themselves? Do you still feel that way? Or do you think that's kind of changing with how how the times are changing in a sense.
No, well, I do think that they need to come over to the United States, because I feel like it's the difference between, and it's not really to say like disrespect, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you're the best in so you're the best there, but
it's like, I'm a champion over there, but
yeah, I'm gonna use the analogy of in basketball. Like, even though, remember the Argentinian run and the Euro invasion that we had back in the early 2000s? Yeah, and then all of a sudden you got the Ginobili. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of them came over and they showed out. And they did their thing.
Had a lot of that flamed out too, right?
Right, but they had to come over to show that, because we didn't know, because you had to fight the best competition. And a lot of the UK fighters are coming over and whooping some ass. Or we go over there and they whoop some ass. And they put a stamp on their name, so we respect them. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding out is, back in the days, UK fighters, they like a Frank, I think it's like maybe a Frank Bruno and things like that, because of Mike Tyson, and then of course how the publications used to print and tell us about it. We didn't have social media, we didn't have the internet, so we didn't know about UK fighters. Mm-hmm. Now, in this era where we're able to see them, we have streaming services, we have social media sites, we have things that get our eyes on UK fighters. One thing I like about these UK fighters is that, man, these UK fighters fight, though.
They will fight.
They may not be the best fighter in the division. No, they may not be the best fighter in the division. Some of them are, obviously, because we're talking about George Groves, who would be the best in the division. What I like about UK fighters is that, though, because we talk about Mexican fighters and Japanese fighters,
European fighters,
right. European. These UK fighters, though, these UK fighters fight for real. Like, they don't come in to quit, though. A lot of American fighters quit in the ring. We see it. That's one thing I'm noticing, and that's something that's never been spoken about.
That is a good point.
Now I don't know why they don't quit. Like, they, if they lose, Liam Smith was getting beat up by Canelo.
And he mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Munguia was punishing the fuck out of him, but he still kept going.
Amir Khan gets knocked out, but Amir Khan gets up and keeps trying to come after you until you stop. Mm-hmm. And you never see Amir Khan quit. Amir Khan just keep getting knocked out, put to sleep. Guess what? Amir Khan back talking trash. Let's go. I'm fighting. We have a lot of fighters that's not like that in the UK, and that's why I like that about the UK fighters. Their heart is crazy.
It seemed like they're more willing to, like, going into the 12th if they know they're down on the cards to still go for broke. You know what I'm saying? They're willing to go for broke in the 12th rather than lose by decision to say, yo, I ain't get knocked out. You know, that's how I seen more U.S. fighters looking like, you know, they know they're down on the cards going into the 12th, but they just sitting there trying to set up something. But UK motherfuckers go in for it. You know what I'm saying? I've noticed that.
News is talking about the infamous, if you have ever been to the Cali or the ring, and you know what I'm talking about. The infamous Euro blank fighter that we all talked about from 2012 to like 2015, your Ernie Smith. News, you know what I'm talking about.
I wasn't that heavy in it, so you gotta fill us in.
What you mean is what you were alluding to, and you may not have known it, is that, like, really the past, like, up until the past like 4 years, like, white European cats and mostly like all cats from over there, besides, you know, before like Triple G and Kovalev came on, like, they were known just as dudes who would come over here with like awkward wax styles, with the exception of maybe Calzaghe. Then they would steal a title and then go back to their hometown or home country and not fight anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were typically referred to as Euro cat boxers. Crackers.
Well, I mean, as far as that European fighters, as Euros in general, I mean, yeah, you would think, because we didn't, again, that was because we didn't know about them. And it wasn't that many. And a lot back then were going back home with it. But no, I'm specifically talking about UK, London, United Kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about Russian fighters. I'm not talking, because we give respect to Russian fighters. We say they fight hard. We talk about I'm not talking about Asia. I'm talking to Japanese fighters. We give them respect. We give Mexican fighters. I'm talking specifically. I'm
strictly English fighters.
English fighters. George Groves, Anthony Joshua,
Eubanks, the Billy Joe Saunders, all of them.
Them guys. That's the thing I like about them, which I did not know about the UK fighters, is that UK fighters fight to the end of the fight. You know what I mean? How they say, like, you know, with the, like, the words, like when you think of like a brawl at the pub type of thing, when you think of that type of term or something like that, right? When you think of that, and then you think that type of stuff happens in the UK, in London or in England, and when they get in a fight, I see why the fans show up. I understand why now. Because the difference between the United States, because I've been to a lot of fights so far. We've all been to fights.
Stunned?
No, it's not even stunned.
Nah, like, yeah, I'm fucking with you, dog.
Yeah, it's just like I've been to fights and we watch it, but the action in the ring is not really what we want to see. You know what I mean? It's like it's kind of slow. I mean, some fights
there's have action. There's always a clunker.
You know what I mean? It's like that. Over in the UK, though, how often have we seen fights? Now, I can't say what they've seen, but we've seen. How many UK fights have we seen that we consider boring?
There was the fight yesterday on the undercard. Okoli versus fucking Matty Askin. I mean, Askin, that was one of the worst fights.
I'm not even talking about the undercard. There's a reason he's an undercard. At the end of the day, if you're an undercard fighter, there's a reason you're an undercard fighter. Lawrence Okoli at this time in his career is an undercard fighter for that reason, because he had that type of fight, because they said he hold, they do all this stuff. I've seen
it
people
was
say
the other dude, really.
But you know what?
Suspended for penalties, but the main event.
Going back to what you were saying, speaking of Okoli and Chamberlain, you know what I'm saying? They sold out and they young cruiserweights, but the crowd showed up and they showed out. You know what I'm saying? The fight was a dud, but like you're saying, they the atmosphere is so different.
It's so crazy over there.
So different, yeah. Man.
They coming for the main event. I'm talking main events. I'm not through talking undercards. So I wanted to be more specific. I haven't seen a boring main event that was with two UK fighters. I've seen boring main events in the United States.
Plenty.
So I understand why they fill up the stadium when they only got to pay like $25.
Yeah,
I would pay $25 to go to Wembley to see. What's our biggest? I'd go to Soldier Field to watch a fight.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? I wouldn't fuck this shit.
I'd go somewhere where it's, you know what I mean, to see some of $25, as long as we know it's going to be good action with two guys doing it. So, yeah, I respect that. And George Groves and Callum Smith, watch when they fight.
No, it's going to be a thing.
Another example of how the UK fighters get down.
Yeah, man. Definitely, it's gonna fuck around to be a fight of the year candidate, because like you said, they're gonna throw down for 12 rounds or however long it lasts, and the crowd going back, this gonna back it every fucking minute. They're gonna have a fucking European soccer chance going from round one to round till it's over with, man. But like you said, here it's like a fashion show, you know what I'm saying? When you go to fights here in the US, man, you just like motherfuckers just sitting on their hands. It's like a symphony. The crowd be acting like they're in a symphony when they watch a fight, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's different, man.
So, so it's funny you say that, because I was at a fight like that, and Champside and I were sitting like in the closest as you could until, you know, you would be on the floor. And there were so many motherfuckers there that weren't even paying attention to the fight.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, an unnamed celebrity was in front, like literally standing in front of us, just on his phone, like the entire time that Ortiz Bay was on. It was so weird.
I got a point too. News, this go back to you, bro, because niggas give you hell about your fighters, but your two biggest fighters be having the most crowd, you know what I'm saying, participation and attention. And that's Wilder and that's Broner. You know what I'm saying? Like, when them motherfuckers fight, the crowd be in that shit. You know what I'm saying? Rather they there because they want to see them lose, but the crowd be, they be invested when them motherfuckers fight, man. And like I said, motherfuckers give them hell about whatever. They style, they this, they that, and the third. But you gonna watch them fight, and you gonna be fucking emotionally invested in that shit. That's one thing we gotta get them two motherfuckers right there. You're fighting them, man.
That Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz, I went to that fight. That fight was crazy. Like, the atmosphere was crazy when them two fight. When those two fought, like, especially when when Wilder rocked him first, and then Luis Ortiz rocked him later in the fight, and then once Wilder rocked him again late at the end, it was crazy in there. Actually, I'm at the upload a clip,
clip of that, because it was one of those you knew was going to happen, and the crowd was just on the edge of their fucking feet the first few rounds, and then. Wilder start them first, it was like, okay, the shit is on now, and the crowd was like, all right, that shit, yeah, you're right, man. Definitely upload that clip ASAP, man.
Yep.
When Ortiz got Wilder with that right hook, it was like, yo, you could feel there was like tension in the air, and that was fun at home. But yo, I would definitely. Like, if I went overseas, I would definitely try and, like,
make smoke.
Going to a fight part of it.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. I definitely would be at an Anthony Joshua fight. Definitely. Yeah. Guaranteed. That would be the fight.
Sure. Yeah. And if whoever that, and I actually found out what her name is, the chick is Kay Adams, who was announcing for DAZN. What's up, girl? If you hear this, holla. But I would go over there to see a fight where she was announcing.
I got you. I got a question for y'all, man. I got a bonus question if y'all mommy sliding this in before we, you know what I'm saying, get to the trenches, talk about our NFL teams, man, right quick before we wrap it up. If I said, man, listen, I'm not into boxing, but give me two fights over the last 3 years that would get me into boxing. What two fights would y'all pick from 2015 until today? What two fights would y'all pick if y'all was just trying to get somebody into boxing?
Klitschko, Joshua, Wilder, Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy because those are the exact two I was going to say. So
Canelo, Triple G 2, maybe.
Nah. So then outside of that, what would I want to go with?
There's no fade like a heavyweight fade.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Heavyweight's my favorite division. And because of that, because like you said, there's no fight. Like I know people are saying, oh, well, Canelo Triple G 2 is fight of the year. Not to me. It wasn't better than Wilder versus Ortiz. It wasn't to me. And I was there at Wilder versus Ortiz. I mean, I guess people liked it fight, but GGG didn't go down. Canelo didn't go down.
And nobody was seriously hurt.
You know what I mean? Where in this fight, Ortiz went down, and Wilder was hurt on the ropes. And then all of a sudden, he put him down. It was a great fight. And it's like the suspense. So it's just, I'm going with the exact two fights. I don't know anybody who could see that Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz fight. Oh, okay. I do have another one. I do have one more as I'm talking.
Non heavyweights. What about non heavyweights?
Okay, let me think of a non.
You just have to go back to 2012 and.
No, I said 2015 and now. Yeah. Nah, don't do it. Non heavyweights, because part of me want to say Warwick Kovalev won. Nah. If I was thinking non heavyweights,
no, nah, people
it's,
would.
It's tough, that's so cagey. That's more cagey. You know what I'm saying? So that'd be tough, man. I'm trying
that's
to think.
A boxing fans fight.
Yeah, I would say Thurman and Porter won. Thurman and Porter would be one if I was just trying to get somebody into it, not just by name recognition, but just strictly off the action and everything. That might be one of my choices. I don't know about y'all, but
Herd Lara. Heard Lara, the Salido. Who was
Salido? Salido and Vargas, right? Was it Francisco Vargas?
Yeah, Salido Vargas. What about King Soar and Chocolatito?
Yeah, I was that too.
That was a fade of, and King Soar was a fade to behold. But I would definitely go with heavyweight skillful fades with knockouts.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Definitely got it. It's like News said, boxing is predicated by the fucking heavyweights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Period. It's the heavyweights. So everybody like to make the welterweight the money division because that's, you know, I mean, it is a money division, but I'm going with I go with the heavyweights, man. The legends of boxing, man, they come from welterweights, but it's nothing like that heavyweight classic fight. That's why we need to see an undefeated gold medal, undefeated gold medal Olympic winning champion, WBA, WBO, IBF, World Heavyweight Champion, versus an undefeated bronze medalist, 40 win, knocked out every opponent he's ever faced.
Slumped.
WBC champion, undefeated. We need to see that in their primes. We need to see that. That's heavy. There is no fight at welterweight. I don't care. I love Errol Spence. That's like one of my favorite fighters today, period, as well. There is no fight at welterweight, middleweight. There is no fight in the world that I would prefer to see over Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder. That fight is somebody is going to sleep. All the talk, yeah, all the trash talk, all the buildup, that fight is going to be that fight that has to be seen.
And this country versus country, too, man.
That's Joshua, I mean, you
know, wait for that fight.
I was waiting for the call out after his victory over Povetkin. And it was kind of like you kept waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And you can tell that Joshua doesn't want that. I mean, Joshua doesn't want that business, man. Like,
he posted up on his Twitter page asking a vote.
About
who's going to, who should he fight next? And as of right now, because I'm going to check it live on the show. So as of right now, it looks to be, let me see here, looks like Deontay Wilder is winning 53% of the votes, with Tyson Fury at 42% of the vote and Dillian Whyte at 5%, which means 95% of the people wants to see Anthony Joshua versus the winner of Robert Fury next.
Yeah,
not Dillian Whyte. So please, in April, do not give me Anthony Joshua versus Dillian Whyte part two.
How is Dillian Whyte even an option?
Anthony Joshua made him an option, and that's what's crazy.
Yeah, he made. Like, you did. Expound on that news. Go ahead.
I'm just saying he made his own poll. He posted that he made Dillian Whyte an option, and only 5% of people that voted, including his own fans, want to see him versus Dillian Whyte next. Not either Wilder or Fury. 5%. Of the 427,000 plus who have voted thus far, the other 95% want to see the winner of Wilder Fury versus Anthony Joshua April at Wembley Stadium. And hey, I mean, that's sounds like a hell of a fight to me.
I mean, Dillian Whyte being in, there's not even, I can't think of a comparison.
Yeah, there ain't no need for fucking Dillian Whyte part two with Anthony Joshua. Definitely not. No. I don't care. It's not needed, man. It is not fucking needed because the outcome is going to be the fucking same. I don't care for it. And we need to move the division forward, as y'all always say. Let's move the fucking division forward with fresh fights. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see this rematch of a fight that nobody's asking for except Eddie Hearn, who want to throw his name out there. But, like, yeah, I don't even want to get into it because I'm going to get fired up about the shit, man. But, but yeah, man, we're going to move to the quick segment of the trenches, man, which is us three. We're going to just touch on our NFL teams. News of, I know you heard about them saying they're going to stick with Fitz over Winston.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, man, it was leaked. It wasn't nothing official, but they're saying unless Fitzpatrick just goes to hell, they're gonna ride with him until the wheels fall off.
I think that's disrespectful. I really do think that's disrespectful because at the end of the day, no matter what people are saying, Jameis Winston is my franchise quarterback. He wasn't the fifth pick in the draft. He wasn't the number 17 pick. He wasn't the 28th pick of the draft. He was the first pick overall, the franchise quarterback. If your franchise quarterback comes back and he's not injured, you don't sit him on the bench and have him running scout team.
Why did he even get suspended?
It doesn't matter if he got suspended. He didn't get injured, right?
Why?
Right. Just the whole Uber thing, and they're saying he didn't self-report it, blah, blah, blah. That's why he got suspended. Retroactively suspended over some, 2 years ago.
Suspended for grabbing some name?
So, allegedly. Right. That's what it is, right?
That is crazy to me because Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the answer.
Has proven this.
You know what I mean? So basically, you're basically just told your quarterback, listen, we don't believe in you because this didn't happen to Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger raped a chick, like, for real.
Ben Roethlisberger had his situations with that type of stuff.
Twice.
Allegedly.
Listen, he had his situations and they didn't put him on the bench.
And he stood right behind.
You know what I mean? You putting Jameis Winston on the bench and you're saying, even after we return, no matter what you do in practice, no matter what Ryan Fitzpatrick does on Monday night versus the Steelers, we're still starting him over you. You're going to the bench. That's disrespectful.
I was going to say, also, last year, he had a damn good season. Individually, he did. You know, he can't make up for Vernon Hargreaves not being able to cover out there. You know what I mean?
We'll take Jameis in Chicago.
And I want to move right to you. Go ahead, man, about your boys.
I mean, I'm going to tell you guys this. So I found a bar here in Golden, which is the name of the town that I live in Colorado. It's like a Bears, like Cubs bar. And the first quarter of the game, we were like entirely shut down. And then the defense kind of started kicking up and like shit got exciting. But every time Trubisky dropped back to pass, it was like the room kind of like went silent. So I don't know, man. They gonna need to coach. I mean, he's gonna need to get coached up quick because he looks scared. And so the thing is, you have like an all-worldly effort going on the other side of the ball. So, I mean, if he doesn't start playing better, he's probably going to get his ass kicked by his teammate.
By Mac, man. Probably the damn MVP of the league so damn far.
Yeah, I mean, having Khalil Mack out there and then your quarterback can't score more than, like, one touchdown, it's like, come on.
Well, at least y'all goddamn scored a touchdown today. You know what I'm saying? Not rolled out 6 goddamn points, man. Like my Jags did offensively today, man. Like we just look like a letdown game after the damn Patriots game, man. That's what it looked like. We just looked totally fucking unprepared. Like we just looked like we was gonna show up. Yeah, we gonna go against Blaine Gabbert and we gonna do the damn thing. And yeah, we actually got him the fuck up out of there. And not even healthy Mariota came in there and beat us at home in an ugly ass game. And that just goes to show you that we wasn't prepared right by the coaching staff. And it goes to show you that we still do have Blake Bortles at times. We still it fucking goes to show you that Blake is still gonna Blake at the worst possible time. Is all I gotta say.
Did he Blake out?
Yeah, he blaked out, man. He blaked out, man. You know Blake Bortles, man. You know it. You know he's a bit. Remember I was saying before the cast, he's never going to be elite or great. So we're going to have those Blake games, man. We're going to have those Blake games, and that showed the fuck up today.
So the Bears are number one in their division. I think the Bucs are, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. But
and aren't the Jags?
Now we probably are. Yeah. We still are, but you know, it's so early, man. But yeah, that shit was fucking deflating today. It was deflating.
Y'all come back strong.
Yeah, we should, man. The division isn't that great. You know, Watson looking like it's going to take a while for him to get back into form. And the Colts, you know, they, I just don't think they're that talented. So, I mean, division is still ours for the taking, in my opinion. But, yeah, Blake and the offense will have to step it up. And I don't think we can afford to hold out Fournette any longer. I know that hamstring's some shit you don't want to fuck with, but I don't know, man. I don't know how many more games we can hold him out for.
All I know is, man, listen, the Buccaneers just really pissed me off with this move, man. I'm on the trading block. Wherever Winston going, I'm going.
You
can't get listen, man. It's about these mighty nose.
Yeah.
My number one squad. You cannot draft my Heisman Trophy winning quarterback number one and sit him on the bench for Ryan Fitzpatrick when he has did nothing wrong on the field. So now, and he's your franchise quarterback. I understand Ryan Fitzpatrick has the hot hand right now. The thing is, not about riding the high. I seen Deshaun Jackson say, "Oh, we need to ride the hot hand or something like that." How would? Okay, I mean, I understand that. I feel it, but I hope he understand that later in the season when Chris Godwin and Jameis Winston are connecting on deep passes, and Deshaun Jackson can sit it out because he understand that you got to throw the ball to the hot man. You know what I mean? You know, he didn't like that last year, but now he wants fit. I don't like. Listen, man. You cannot disrespect a quarterback. Jameis Winston has 1 year left in his contract, which means I have 1 year left in my Tampa Bay contract. Wherever we go, I just hope it's a hell of a ride. Tampa's, I can't believe they did me like this. We came to the team, we came back, and they disrespecting us. So whatever Jameis want to do is what we're
going to do. Shitty.
Huh?
Nothing. Y'all can edit that part out.
You talking about, what'd you say about Pat?
I said they suspended him for grabbing some titties.
I mean,
allegedly.
He served his suspension. So after he served his suspension, if he comes back and he does not start, that means you chose to go in a different direction.
Saying we're moving on.
Right, and Jameis Winston has 1 year left on his contract. 1 year left. So if that's the case, next year is his last year on his contract with the Buccaneers, which means he could be traded either this season or in the offseason.
Right, because that's like not going back to him is basically saying, all right, you can't go to Winston unless damn Fitzpatrick get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Unless he get hurt, you got to ride it out because you done made your damn decision. You know what I'm saying?
You're the backup. You're the backup right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter. You're the backup. So you got to sit. Nah, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to serve your suspension. Okay. You did good, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Great job. You got us, hopefully, 3-0. You put up numbers. Great. But guess what? When it comes to quarterbacking, if I pick you to start over Jameis Winston, I believe you're better than Jameis Winston. So to me, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not better than Jameis Winston. So
what has he accomplished?
You
know what I'm saying? That's just like saying when like you said, when Big Ben was out and they were still solid, when Leftwich or Charlie Batch, one of them was a starter, just ride that out. You know what I'm saying? Like that's foolish. I know Big Ben is more accomplished at that time than Winston was. But you see the parallels what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? That's just like
I'm gonna tell you how I see it, man. It's like this, man. And like I said, this is the Supreme talking right now.
Yeah.
So I see it like this. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been doing this for years, man. He's been going around and he like
stealing money.
He like a type of dude that go around and he's a backup and he goes around and he like basically steals your job and then and gets you and you go and you move on and then he takes over your job and then they find out he ain't nothing either. It's basically like a dude, he goes steal your girl and your girl find out later that she let you go that this dude ain't shit either. That's how Ryan Fitzpatrick is. he go and steal everybody's girl, and now they with him, and they find out, oh, you ain't shit. All along, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He go, he'll steal your job. They think they got a new good quarterback, and guess what? Ha-ha, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's still me. That's exactly what happens.
Did that in Cincinnati, did it in Buffalo, did it in Tennessee, did it in Houston, did it with the Jets. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
That's impressive.
Mr. Steal your girl. Mr. Steal your job. That's right. Yeah. Patrick.
I would rather
steal your job.
Mr. Steal your job.
Job, Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. That's what he'd do. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick in your team, quarterback, beware.
Yeah.
This guy is coming and he will eventually become the starting quarterback.
And then get paid and then lose the job.
And lose the job and then go to another team and take that over too and do this rinse and repeat, man. I swear.
Your old team might even sign you back.
Right.
For real.
I'm sorry, y'all. That shit was just...
Hey, man. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. Can't believe it. I knew it. I said it. I ain't even wanted to come to Tampa because I knew he'd do this.
Yeah, you did say that.
I knew he would do this. He fuck it all up. He come in and he play. That's the problem. He come in and he play good and then we think and then we get food. Come on, we've seen this all the time. He came in, he whined and dined. He took you out to a couple of nice restaurants. He was using all his rent money. You ain't know that. Ryan Fitzpatrick out here just, you know what I mean? He just out here stealing jobs, taking over, go to the next team, do it again. He had an impressive career, man.
But yeah, man, I think that's a great way to go ahead and wrap up this cast, man. I know we say the fade hour, but you know what I'm saying? When the Supreme OG start talking, when the Stout on my end start talking, whatever in Smoke System starts talking, we might run a little bit over, man. But, you know, dudes always be asking me to close up the cast, and he know I'm never going to do it because I'm going to throw it to him. I'm going to let him go ahead and wrap it up for this, man, and then we're going to be out.
Man. Listen, man, I'm gonna give y'all the old school Russell Simmons. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in to the Ringside Rave. Just the Fade Hour episode 7. Y'all have a good rest of y'all day.
Thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.